Good morning. So glad to be here today. Thankful for each and every one who have found it in your hearts and your busy schedule to come and to be with us to worship the Lord. We appreciate the poems that were recited. They seem, I always find things fit together. You know, they complement each other. It's like cogs in a wheel. They just all come together and it works. And anything in God's work, it always does fit together. We're glad to be here. We ask that you pray for this service, that God would be glorified, that He'd be honored, that somehow that we might be able to impart something that would be of benefit and of a blessing to each and every one of us today. I always think about coming this way and always think about what can I say, what can I do today to encourage God's people? Because we live in a discouraging time. It won't take very long until we all get home and we see what's been going on in the world. But I hope there'll be something that God will impart by His Holy Spirit to you that will set with you for the remainder of the week. There's a peace that they talk about in the Scriptures, a peace that passeth all understanding. And I pray that that will be your peace today. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us to the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to begin our reading lesson with the ninth verse. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. This was written by the Apostle Paul as he was sojourning in Ephesus for about 3 years. And we're going to find later, as he wrote from Ephesus, that, or he wrote to the Ephesian church, that he was in prison. But here he's not in prison. This takes place on his second missionary journey. And so as he is in Ephesus, he thinks about the church at Corinth, that about 3 years previous to this, that he helped in establishing the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, turn with us at this time to the ninth verse of this same chapter. For we are His laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how that he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation, and if you would mark that to go back to later, because this is the foundation of our faith that he speaks of. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man shall be made manifest. Every man's work shall be made manifest. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. We don't think about our works going in before God to be judged of our works. But according to the Scriptures, that does take place. But that does not mean that the individual loses their salvation. Because he goes on and says, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, even so by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness unto God. For it's written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. If correctly read, includes the 15 verses from the third chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. And we pray God's blessings upon even just so much the reading of His Word this morning. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And we find that the Bible also says in another place that God spoke by the prophets. He spoke by holy men that wrote these things down, that inscribed them. And it's come down, think about it, all this way, these centuries, to this present moment of time. How skillful is God and how powerful is God that He can protect what He has spoken. Our text will come from the 9th verse of the same chapter, where that He says, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And our thought will come from that scripture, that ye are God's husbandry. In other words, you are God's garden that He cultivates and that He cares for and that He waters. And you are also God's building. What are you building today? You're building something that's going to last, hopefully, for all of eternity. On that foundation of Christ Jesus as Savior, we build upon that each and every day, all of our tasks and everything. But we labor together with God in doing this. And we labor with our testimony. Everyone who has been saved has a testimony unto God. First of all, being saved by the grace of God. We are living epistles, the Bible says in the second chapter of the book of the Corinthian letter. You are probably the only Bible some people are going to read. Now that may sound kind of startling, and it always catches me whenever that I see that word coming up out of the pages at me. But we are living epistles, known of every man, read by every individual. They see our actions. They see what we do. They see where we go. They hear what we say. And we hope and pray today that everything that we say, that the Christian always, always says those things that reflect unto God, they build upon it. A testimony is a very, very important thing. How we are in church is one thing, but yet out in the world, that sometimes is something different. But when we go from this place, when we go from the presence of God, we are carrying with us a representation of God unto the world. In other words, kind of like an ambassador. Some ambassadors reflect the wishes of their nation. Our desire, our heart's desire, ought to be that all men will come unto repentance and be saved. But what evidence do they have of that, not only by our testimony, but how we conduct ourselves and how that we are out in the world? But we ask that you would ask God for opportunities that would come up, that would arise. And when you ask of God, He will open those opportunities for you to be able to witness to somebody, for you to be able to talk about the grace of God, the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. And if ever there was a time there is a need for our light to shine unto a lost and dying world, it's in this day in which that we live. But you know, the darker and darker and darker things may become, the brighter our light can shine. And people will become curious. They'll see that you're different, that you conduct yourself different, you speak differently than the rest of the world. Your speech is seasoned with the grace of God. And people will come and will say, there's something in the course of their conversation, but there's something about you that is different. I can't put my finger on it. I can't nail it down, but there's something different about you. And that's leading up to telling them about Christ. Now, I'm not saying go out into the world and, you know, you just pound the Bible right in their face, but I'm saying that your conduct, your witness, your life, let it reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Bible says we labor together. Now, we labor together with one another, and we labor together with God. And God is wanting to use you. He's wanting to fashion you. He's wanting you to grow. You know, we gave out the olive trees not too long ago. I'm not going to ask how many people that your olive trees are doing well. But you know, it's kind of like that olive tree. What we do with it is going to result in how high that olive tree goes. And you might say today, well, these things are raised in the Middle East and they're not going to fare very well in the Ozarks. But you know what? The gospel began in the Middle East. And my friend, we have been given charge of that. We've been given the responsibility, the privilege. You know, it's a grace of God. We think of salvation as being a grace of God, and it is. But our works, what we do, how we testify, whatever the case might be, God has given you the privilege and the opportunity to be a part of the ongoing of His gospel. You know, there's some thoughts that we have maybe in the remainder of the year about after the resurrection, then what? Brother, I want to say something. I'm looking out on this congregation, and my friend, you are a result of that crucifixion. You are a result of that resurrection. And if the resurrection had never taken place, Christ Jesus would just be heralded as just another martyr that died for a cause. But thanks be unto God, He's living. Where does He live? He lives in your heart. And so we find today that we are His workmanship. We are His. And one of the things that we also labor together with Him is through our attentiveness unto the work of God. Now, I know we have busy schedules. I understand that. And I understand that we have things that we've got to do, obligations that we've got to meet. But you know, early in the morning, and I'm not going to tell you how early, but early in the morning, we should arise and give part of that day unto the Lord, saying, Lord, what will you have me to do? Prayer is very essential. Prayer is very needed today, more so than ever. And Jesus said in one place, my Father's house shall be a house of prayer. May it be just not in this house, but in your home and in your house, a house of prayer and attentiveness unto the voice of God. And you might say, well, I don't hear the voice of God. I don't detect anything. Well, then ask Him why. Because I believe God is speaking continually. I believe that He is always sounding forth something. We should also remember to assemble ourselves together to worship Him as we are assembled today. And I'm not getting on to people about attendance or anything like that, but I'm saying that attendance is very crucial to your well-being and to you growing. We are laborers together with God. And you know, today, my friend, we help one another sometimes just by our presence, just by being there, just knowing that there is somebody who at some time, some point, has prayed for me. And my friend, we are, Paul says in the 6th chapter of the book of the Galatian letter, we are to bear one another's burdens. Bear each and every as you can. Now, I would suggest that if your memory's like mine, that you probably, wherever that you're at, just take out your pen. And you might say, I don't have a pen. Well, carry one with you. And just write down, I'm going to remember Sister Sherry. I'm going to remember their cousin that's in need. I'm going to remember and thank God for that baby that the doctors were able to look at and to conclude today that all is as well with him. I want to tell you something today. We serve a prayer-answering God. My friend, we serve a God that's attentive. His ear is inclined unto us today to listen to what we have to say. And today, my friend, not only attentive to our cry, but let's be attentive unto our attendance, because you can never tell. There may be a Sunday, or there may be a time we get together, whenever that somebody's got a burden, and you are the one that God is going to use to render comfort and to help to bear their burdens. You know, it also would not hurt to call each other and say, I've got you on my heart. I've got you on my soul. I've been thinking about you today. You know, I've found sometimes I've been driving, and this was why, perhaps, and I'm not blaming God, but sometimes why that I have problems with driving is because that suddenly somebody will come to mind and that inclination to pray for them. Now, I realize today common sense should take over and I should pull over to the side of the road and pray as God would lead me. Not try to pray when I go around a corner, but try to pray while that is on my mind, because God places people upon your heart for a reason. Maybe they can't pray for themselves. Maybe there's a burden that is so bad and so heavy that they cannot even lift up your... Have you ever been that way? I've heard one minister say one time, he said, sometimes the burden's so heavy, he said, I can't even grunt the name of God. But my friend, you can intercede for them. And he gives us this ministry of intercession. That's part of the growing today. We intercede on behalf of the lost. We pray for their salvation. And my friend, we pray for one another. Brother, I want to tell you, we've got enough coming at us with the news reports and all that's going on in the world. I just got a message from the CDC. I just had to turn it off. Said, I don't know what's going to be the outcome of that, but Lord, you've got me on a mission to come to this church and to try to encourage everyone. You are needed today. Don't let Satan ever tell you that you're not needed, that you're not significant today. I would stand here today and tell you that as long as I've got 10 toes, I'm pretty stable. Well, at least for standing. But you chop off even the little toe, and you might say, well, you could probably live without that. But my friend, I might start leaning more than usual over this way, about to fall over. That toe is needed. And you might feel this way, that I'm not as significant as even that toe. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are needed of God, every one of you today. In this day that which we live, my friend, you're needed more now than ever before. We labor together with God, with one another, and we use our resources for the glory and the honor of God. Now, I know people say today, I've heard enough on TV about preachers saying send a seed faith of about $1,000 and I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk about an example that was set before us. And Sister Melba may have to help me with this, but whenever that they left Egypt, that's the children of Israel. They found favor with the Egyptians, not with Pharaoh, not with Pharaoh's court, but with the Egyptians. And someone used to preach that, well, they spoiled Egypt. No, they didn't go into the neighbor's house and say, I like that gold vase. I'm just going to take it for all the years of labor that I suffered down here. No, they found favor, and God used those Egyptians to give them of their household, to give them of their substance, to take that with them whenever that they left. You see, God had a plan for them. God had a plan for the children of Israel. He was going to build a tabernacle where men could come unto God. And my friend, it was going to be so glorious in the fact that it was ornate. It was built with gold. It was built with silver. It was built with brass. It was built with fine wood today. And it represented unto the world that looked upon it that though we've sinned against God, there is a way to come in to the holiest of all. Through our good works? No. Through a high priest who makes a sacrifice for us. And so, my friend, we use our resources kind of in the same way. Now, I'm not here begging for money, but my friend, use the resources, first of all, for the glory of God. Now, I don't have an agenda, and whenever I say this, God laid it on my heart and to preach this, and I'm not doing bad. But I want you to know God wants you to continue giving however that you can. And sometimes it's not always just the monetary part of it, but giving of yourself. Do you know Jesus gave the greatest gift that the world has ever received? You know, there's never been another one to come along that gave such a gift. He that knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. God so loved the world that He gave, listen to what He said, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We find, my friend, that Abraham gave. We find today that others gave. We find today that Jesus gave His life and gave the very, very thing that was needed for our salvation. Now, whenever that we obey God and we allow ourselves to be used of God, I want to tell you that there's some things that we can do. We can give our time unto the Lord. Well, I don't have time. Well, I think as the days go on, we're going to have to make time. We're going to have to give time. That's probably one of the most crucial things that we can give is of our time, along with our tithe and all of that. We give ourselves to the study of the Scriptures. Do you know that Paul encountered in the Acts of the Apostles some that were in a place called Berea? And the Acts of the Apostles say that these were more noble than the ones he just came from that rejected his message. He said that they studied the Scriptures to see if these things were so. Now, don't always take my word for something. I've got some ideas of people will say, well, I'm not quite sure about it. We'll go and search it out. and see for yourself, and we both may arrive at the same conclusion. Search the Scriptures, for in them is the fountain of life, a direction, a light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And in a changing morality that will probably change at the moment, at the drop of a hat, whenever that we wonder, well, is this necessarily wrong? You know, is this necessarily bad? You know, we live in a new culture. We live in a new day. Go back to what the Word of God says about it. That's another foundation. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. And if God says it's right, it's right. You know, that settles it. God said it, and that settles it. So we find that whenever that we do these things, whenever that we allow our testimony to go forth, to live our life, that people might see that there is a difference in our walk with God, that we've been saved by the grace of God. His grace lives in us. And we also allow ourselves to give of our substance, time, whatever the case might be. My friend, we find that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't think today that you are insignificant and that God doesn't need you. You know, some people will reason, well, they don't need me. You know, I can't do anything. I don't have skills, and so on and so forth. That's the devil speaking to you. I'll tell you right now where that came from. Everybody is needed. Not just a few, everybody is needed. And talents that you have may be the very thing that is needed to fit the puzzle together, to fit the work together. And that's, my friend, even as to the upkeep of the church, were to make it, you know, our objective to keep the church looking nice. And you might say, well, we don't want to be like some of them that get too fancy. Well, I'll tell you what, the devil's got his idols right now, and he's put everything into it that he can. And I'm not saying that this church isn't taken care of or anything, but don't fall behind. Don't become lax or satisfied. You know, a church can get too satisfied. Now, I'm not saying you are, but don't fall into that trap. Don't fall into that, because if we neglect in any part of our service, then we neglect this. Then we neglect our service. Then we neglect what God has saved us for. And so we find today that we are laborers together with God. You're God's garden. He may trim you up a little bit. He may pull some, and I'm not sure. I don't know that anybody needs to have their leaves trimmed. But my friend, let Him fertilize you. Not in the sense we think of fertilizing, but let Him fertilize you. Have Him water you. Have him strengthen you. Have Him kick the bugs of Satan off the leaves. Let Him do that. I want you to know He'll use you to His name's honor and glory. I'm going to leave one thing with you today. Jesus had just preached to thousands on a hillside. Can you imagine that today? Thousands came in. They were so hungry for the Word that they came out. They gloried in what He said. My friend, He put down some of the greatest principles and laws of the New Testament as He preached to them. You know, the day went on, and pretty soon it was nighttime, or close to nighttime. And Jesus told them, you know, the people are famished, they're hungry, you feed them. What if Jesus came up to you today and said, "You feed Hickory County"? Well, I'm sure you would do the best you could. But think about this today. There was a lad that Andrew found, and he gave all that he had. 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. I don't know whether they were crappie or they were catfish, or maybe the little boy was lucky, caught a big bass or something, you know, but yet he brought what he had. Now, we don't know anything about him before and after, but he made himself available. He gave what he had. And do you know what Jesus did with that? He took something that looked insignificant and he multiplied it. Now, I don't know how that took place, but I do know the one that framed the universe, created the earth, created man, the plants, the animals, and all that. If God wants to multiply something to feed thousands, he can do it. If anybody can do it, he can do it. And he did it. And do you know that there were left over 12 baskets full? 12 baskets full. That's what God can do. He can take what you have to offer. He can take your talents. He can take your testimony, whatever the case might be, and he can use it to affect someone else, to seek God. I've been in revivals in Tennessee, and, you know, they've been good. But you know what's always amazed me? I'll get a phone call from somebody, I have no idea who they are, but they'll say, "You were preaching a revival on such and such and such and such. And I was sitting at the very front, maybe a seat or two back, and I couldn't make it to the altar. I just bowed where I was at, and God saved my soul." And you know, we don't know the far-reaching effect that the gospel can have. Even in our world, even in our state, even in our county today. So as we close our few remarks, my friend, we're laborers. Never, never, ever forget. God needs you and wants to use you. We are laborers together with God. We are God's building.